to thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the breath of life. We thank you, Father, that we, Lord, as your children, come before you, Lord, and we boldly come before the throne of grace, knowing that you hear our prayers, knowing, Father God, that you hear our petitions, Father, knowing that you undertake, Lord God, for everything going on in this world, around us, Lord God, in this life. Father, as we walk out this life with you in connection and relationship with you, Lord Jesus, we know, Father God, as a good shepherd, you take care of everything around us, Lord. You protect us from harm, hurt, and danger, Lord God. You lead us in a path of life and truth. And so, Lord, this day, Father God, even as we would stop, Lord God, in all that's going on around, and, Lord, still ourselves, Father God, before you, and being still and knowing that you are God. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would speak to us at this time. Father, I yield myself to your Spirit. And, Lord, I just invite you, Lord, the preacher that's on the inside, Lord, your Holy Spirit, to speak through this vessel. I get out of the way, Father, and I yield completely to you and acknowledge that I have nothing in me, Lord, and no word in me except if it's from you. So, Lord, this day, Lord God, we just yield to your Spirit, all of us, Father. We leave every care and concern on the side, Lord God, and we come before you to hear what you have to say in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, it's very easy. It's very easy to get into ritual. I think there's something in the design and the heart of how men and women are made up that we look for ritual. We look for something that can be contained. We look for something that can be controlled. We want to know what it is that's necessary to do to get your own way. We look for a ritual. We look for what it is that we need to do to get what we want. So we will, as human beings, even as children, watch children, they do this very well. If there's one teacher that's very strict and one that's has a little bit softer way, if they want something, which one do they go to? So a child that's given over to... Now, children by nature are very selfish. And it takes a process of growth and maturity for us to come as children to actually grow up into adults. To meet a selfish adult is a very ugly thing. Because ultimately you're meeting somebody that never grew up. But when you a child, and the nature of a child is selfish, if you go to a playground and watch children, this is my ball. Yes? My toys, my stuff. Even if they haven't played with it for 2 days, if somebody else wants to borrow it, it's mine. So there's something in the nature of and the heart of people from the core of when you came here that's like that. And even when you come into a relationship with Christ and your spirit is born again, you're like a newborn babe in Christ. And when you begin the journey with Christ, even at that point, it's still like a child, very selfish. What does God want me to do? What is my purpose? Who am I? You see, even the thinking is still about me, as if I'm the most important thing in the world. And the way of the religious system of the world that's at enmity with God is it feeds that selfish nature. So that selfish thinking, that soulful inward thinking of me, myself, and I is fed by the religious system of the world to keep you selfish. To keep you self-absorbed, to keep your mind inside this bubble of me, myself, and I, what does God want me to do? Whereas what God does and the path that Jesus leads His people in is one that actually leads you out of and away from self. You lose yourself in Christ Jesus. When Jesus prayed in John 17, in John 17:21, He prayed that they may all be one as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. So Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus being the path of life, He leads His people in a path where eventually you are one in Christ. Where you lose yourself, and it's no longer you, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. To be an ambassador of Christ is to be one that speaks on behalf of and as a reflection of the place where you come from. So for example, the other day I was watching the news. And I saw there was the spokesman for the Sudan to the United Nations was on the news. And he sounded very much like some of our foreign diplomats. He sounded very much like some of the diplomats that Sri Lanka has. So they're talking to this man from Sudan and they're asking him, interviewing him, saying, what's happening in Sudan? What's happening in Darfur? There's major humanitarian crisis going on there. He says, no problem.
සුසංගතේ මොකද වෙන්නේ අපිට ආරංචි මේ මගේ දේවල් සුද්ධ වෙනවා මිනිස්යන් හැම කියලා.
Is it only 10,000 people maybe over the last few years, and you know most countries have disease anyways, you can't count that as a problem? But in actuality, he is a very good spokesperson for the representative and the country that he's coming from, because he represents his government very well. He's a very good reflection of corrupt, wicked people. And so when I listen to him, I say, ah, okay, I know exactly where you're coming from. You're an excellent representative for the people you represent. Good job. So I've met personally some of the representatives for Sri Lanka in dinners and things like that. They represent their country very well. They're a very good representative of the administration and the people that have chosen them to do the job. But you and I, as followers of Christ Jesus, what do we represent? Okay, Jesus, back to very simple scriptures, we'll keep hammering these away. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You don't come to the Father unless you're in truth. So if you're going to go to the Father, you have to be in truth. If you're going to come from the Father back this way, you're still in truth. Go to John 10 for a second. Let's see, John 10. And let's see. Jesus said, verse 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So if you're going to come in and if you're going to go out, if you are in Christ, you're always coming in and going out of truth. So you never leave that place, you never leave that spirit, you never leave that zone of connection with the Father. Okay, why do we use the Bible? We use it to know the will of God. What else? He speaks to us through the book. Okay, good. To understand God. We use the Bible as a means because they testify about Christ Jesus. But ultimately, it testifies about the Spirit of truth that lives in those that are following truth. So there are those that seek to handle this word and handle the scriptures that don't do so from a connection with the Spirit of truth. They don't have the Spirit of truth in them, so for them it's a very carnal application of the word. So even now when I speak, because I'm connected to the Spirit of truth, when you hear and you're in connection with the Spirit of truth too, it resonates in your heart. Something in your heart goes, I identify with that. I feel that. And when it's not in connection with truth, because you know the voice of the Spirit of God in you, again back to John 10, in you something goes, I don't know what that is, but it doesn't sit well in my spirit. So in Matthew 15, in verse 7 says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitudes and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth the man. Then he came to his disciples and said unto them, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, he shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto them, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. All these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man.
යසයා මෙදලා ගැන කතා කොට මේ සිනේක තොල්වලින් මට ගෞරව කරති නමුත් තොන්ගේ සිත මා කෙරෙන් දුරව තිබේ මිනිසයන්ගේ ශික්ෂාවන් ගුරු උපුම්පට උගන්වමින් ඔවුන් මට නමස්කාර කරන්නේ නිරන්තරයේයි අනාගත වචන මනා කොට කීයේ කිසේක එවිට උන්වහන්සේ සමුහයා කැඳවා ඔබ කතා කොට නුඹලා අසා තේරුම් ගන්න කට රැතුමන දෙයි මිනිස්සු අපවිත්‍ර වෙනවා නෝ මිනිස්සු අපවිත්‍ර වෙන්නේ කටින් පිටවන දෙයි නැයි කිසේක එවිට ගෝලයා ඇවිත් පරිශුද්ධ වචනේ අසා බාධා වූ බව දැන දෙන්නේ දැයි උන්වහන්සේගේ ගැසුවේ උන්වහන්සේ උත්තර දෙමින් මාගේ ස්වර්ගීය පියාණන් වහන්සේ විසින් නොහින්දු සියලු පැලෑටි උතුරුම ලබන්නේය ඔහු නිකම් සිටිත් ඔහු මග පෙන්වන අන්ද ඇතැයි ඔය අන්ධයේ අන්ධයෙකුට මඟ පෙන්වමින් යද දෙදෙනාම වනක වැටෙනවා ඇතැයි කීසේක. එවිට ප්‍රේත සුත්තර දෙමින් මේ උපමාව අපිට තෝරා ගන්න මැනව උන්වහන්සේ කිව්වේ. උන්වහන්සේ කියනසේ නුඹලා තවම තේරුම් නැතුව සිටින්න ඕද? අද ඇතුළුන සියල්ල බලක පැමිණ වැසිකිලි යන බව නුඹලා තේරෙන්නේ නැද්ද? නමුත් කඩින් පිටවන දෙයක් ඉස්සෙන්නේ සිටින්නේ. මනුෂ්‍ය අපවිත්‍ර වෙන්නේ ගේන්නේ. පක්ෂිසාද නපුරු සිටවිලි විනිමැරුන් කාමිත්‍යාචාරකම් වෛශ්‍යකම් සොරකම් බොරු සාක්ෂිකීන් සහ අපහස කිරීම සිටින් නික්මෙන්නේ. මනුෂ්‍ය අපවිත්‍ර වෙන්නේ මේ දේවල් දෙන්නේ. නමුත් නොසේදී අත්කලින් කෑවට මනුෂ්‍ය අපවිත්‍ර වෙන්නේ නැතයි කිසේ.
Okay. Jesus tells them, your worship is in vain. Your worship of me is a waste. So you getting up on Sunday, getting all washed up and clean, breaking your rest, going, catching the bus, going to the building, sitting down there, standing up, sitting down, going home, going for the big lunch with everybody, all of it is a waste.
නමුත් උදේ පාන්දර ලෑස්ති වෙලා මෙහෙම කඩාගෙන බස් එකේ නැගලා ඊට පස්සේ සභාවට ගිහිල්ලා නමස්කාර කරන එක දේව බින්දමකට ගිහිල්ලා නැගිටිනවා ඉඳගන්නවා නැගිටිනවා ඉඳගන්නවා නමස්කාර කරනවා ඊට පස්සේ පටියේ ගිහිල්ලා කෑම කනවා මේ සියල්ල නැස්සක්
වෙනවා. And you've done it for 15 years.
මේකේ අවුරුදු 15කට කරලා වෙනවා.
And every one of those days has been a waste. Why? Why is it a waste? Why? There is something deeper, something more important going on here than what you do on the outside, than the ritual and the way you're perceived by others.
දැන් මේ අපි සම්ප්‍රදායක් හැටියට කරන දේ අනිත්‍යයක් එක්ක කරන දේට වඩා ඉතාම ගැඹුරු මොනවද වෙනස් යමක් මේ දෙය තුළ තියෙනවා කියලා.
Verse 8, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
එතන කියනවා මේ සෙලක තොල් වලින් මට ගෞරව කරති. නමුත් ඔවුන්ගේ හදවත කියලා තමයි ඉංග්‍රීසියෙන් තියෙන්නේ. ඔවුන්ගේ සිත මා කෙරෙන් දුන්න තිබේ.
Back to again the analogy that Jesus uses of us being the bride of Christ.
Then නැවතවරයක් මේ ගැන කතා කරොත් උන්වහන්සේගේ මනමාලිය යේසුස් වහන්සේගේ මනමාලිය කියලා කියන එකට සම්බන්ධ වෙනවා.
It would be like a bride supposedly engaged to somebody, but she's really has her heart on her boyfriend over here, somebody else.
ඒක හරියට මේ වගේ විවාහ ගිවිසුම් ගන්න කිසිකේ මනාලියක් වෙන එයාගේ පරණ පෙම්වතා ගැන හිත හිත ඉන්න හදවතින් යන පරණ පෙම්වතා ගැන හිතන මනමාලියක් වගේ.
So when she sees the one that she's supposed to marry, she's like, oh yes, I'm so excited, the date's coming, all of that stuff, but really her heart is somewhere else.
ඉතින් එයාගේ අර ගිවිසුම් ගන්න ඉන්න කෙනාව හම්බුනාම එයාට ටිකක් උනන්දුවක් තියෙනවා, මෙයාව තමයි මම දැන් විවාහ වෙන්නේ කියලා. ඒක ගැන උනන්දුවක් තිබුණාට ඇත්තටම එයාගේ හදවත අර පරණ පෙම්වතා ගැන තමයි තියෙන්නේ.
Now realize this, God is not like us. Man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. So he sees right through you. So when that unfaithful bride, already set up to be an adulterous bride, when she's there, he already knows that in advance. He already sees and knows her hearts, her intentions, her affections. He knows where they are. So with each and every one of us, God already knows your heart, your intentions, your affections, what they are. And he's tried to be gentle with you.
ඒ වගේම උන්වහන්සේ උත්සාහ ගන්නවා අපිත් එක්ක තමයි
He's tried to woo you. He's tried to show you that nobody could love you as much as He loves you. He's tried to show you that no matter what, this is that He really does intend the best for you. But He won't try to woo you forever. Ultimately, He'll give you over to your choice. Your will be done. So you get your will in your life.
If,
that's why even we were taught to pray, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. You have to pray and ask and yield to the will of God for that to be manifest in you. Okay, back to verse 8 and 9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. In vain they worship me. So back to 15 years of Sundays, early morning. In vain. Why is it in vain? Because ultimately you've accepted the doctrines that were really the traditions of men. And you never question them because you never committed yourself to the path of truth. Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, if you commit yourself to truth, you ask yourself, does anything that come your way line up with truth? And it can be a very hard thing sometimes, because you've done something one way for 10 years. Without questioning, you've done the ritual that you've been required by those that were in leadership over you. You've done it faithfully, year in and year out, year in and year out. And then one day, God wakes you up and you find out, that wasn't it. You can respond like the disciples did when Jesus gave a hard teaching and everybody left Him but the 12. So Jesus always speaking and teaching truth. When He gives them truth in that situation, He turns, because everybody else leaves, they're like, this is too much for me, I'm gone. He turns to the 12 and He says, what about you? Will you go too? They said, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. So you can respond like them, or you can respond like the religious leaders of the day. Which was how many times, go back and look, did they want to kill Jesus?
ಆಕೆ ಕೊಂದರೆ ಬೆಳವಸ್ ಎದುರಿಗಿಲ್ಲ ಬೆಳವಸ್
Now Jesus said, no man takes my life, I lay it down on my own accord, and the Father's given me this power, I can lay it down and I can take it up again. So Jesus chose the time, the place, everything about his death, he picked that. They were ready at any point in time to try to kill Jesus. They tried to stone him. They tried to push him off a cliff. It'd start going through the list of how many times they tried. As soon as he said something difficult to them, as soon as he left, they start plotting on how we're going to kill him the next time. Let me translate. Ultimately, what they're saying is, how do we get rid of this truth? How can we make it so we never ever have to hear this truth again? How can we do away with it so that nobody else can hear this truth either? How can we shut him up and keep him from exposing our hearts and the hearts of that we've been working with for all of this time? And since truth sets people free, how can we keep him from setting anybody else free? Because he's ruining our little program. He's ruining what we've spent so much time to try to build. He's ruining what we've spent so much time trying to build. We've been working so hard to build our little Babylonian sandcastle. And he's going to kick it over. They don't realize their house has been built on the sand. The whole thing's going to fall down anyways. Jesus Christ is the rock. You build your life on truth, and then when the trials and the troubles of life come, then your house stands. You remember when we talked, it was probably about a month back, how their goal was to try to save their nation and their place, right? There was the reason that they wanted to kill Jesus, part of their justification. It didn't work. Once Jesus rose from the dead and all of that, he wept for Jerusalem when he went in there because he knew what was going to happen to them because of their rejection of truth. So God weeps for people, but he still lets you make the choice. Because ultimately, you are a free will being in this earth. You make choice, you make decision, you choose, and you get to also experience the full harvest of every choice you make. Let's go back to verse 9.
It says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The commandments of men, the doctrine of men, results in your worship being in vain. The ritual of man results in your connection being void. It's not real. It's not present. If you didn't go to the building on Sunday and you didn't get the chance to raise your hands and have a nice, happy, warm feeling, are you connected with God now? Or have you done something now that's so irreparable because you missed a Sunday? Is your relationship with Him direct as a connection with Him, or is it based on what somebody told you about Him? Back to why is it that we use the Bible? The Bible is something that testifies about the Spirit of Truth. But in it, this is not ultimately the definer. The definer is Christ. So when Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, He said, look, you diligently study the Scriptures because you think by studying them that you will inherit eternal life. But these are they which testify about Me. So they missed ultimately the Scriptures are supposed to point them to Christ. They're studying the road sign and they're missing the road. God has made it very simple. There are two kingdoms in this world. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. You have the power of Satan and you have the power of God. And you have a free will that you get to exercise and make a choice. And you're allowed to live in the direction that you've chosen. And you will receive, even in and of yourself, an eternal continuation in the direction you choose while you're in this life. So that's why I don't worry too much about people by the labels that they might carry. Because if they're genuinely seeking truth and their heart is for truth, they will run into Jesus. And ultimately, He will meet them. So even with the early church, Jesus told the disciples, He said, look, a time's going to come when they're going to put you out of the synagogue. But He didn't tell them to leave. They were still Jews. They were still following Judaism. This label Christian that we all embrace is something that pagan people started calling this group that met over here because they all resemble this guy Christ. This word Christian. It was in Antioch. People started seeing this group of people that looked like Christ, talked like Christ, acted like Christ. The power of God came through them just like it did through Christ. They walked like Peter and the shadow would fall and people would get healed. These people look like Christ. They're little Christs. We'll call them Christians. Jesus Christ never set up a religion. He came to set you free from religion. He came to set you free from the doctrines of men. That stand as a barrier between you having a personal relationship and a connection with the God that made you. He hated the doctrines of men so much that he would clear the temple, he would move things out, he would die on a cross just so that you wouldn't have to have a man stand between you and him anymore. You know what the curse of the law was? The curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. Your efforts, everything, you needed somebody to go in there and make intercession for you, and you were always waiting for somebody to come back and tell you, are you okay with God? You don't need somebody to tell you if you're okay with God or not. The Spirit of God that's living inside of you will show you and reveal to you where you are with the Father if you ask Him. I don't need another man to prophesy over me. I don't need somebody coming up and laying a sweaty hand on my shoulder. Now, granted, there's a place for us to take up one another's burdens, but ultimately what I need is the Spirit of God to lead and guide and direct my life. Ultimately, what we need, each and every one of you, you need to know the voice of the Spirit of God for yourself, question everything, and find out, does it line up with truth? And if it doesn't line up with truth, leave it. It's just a wait. It's another shackle the world has put out to try to keep you from this freedom that God has given you. The whole book of Galatians is along these lines. But we're not going to go to Galatians right now. You can read that one on your own. There's your homework assignment. But what we will close with is John 17 and verse 3, which says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." So this is life eternal. That you would have an eternal union with the Father that begins right now. That you would be one in Christ. That you, when people would see you, they would see a reflection of the Spirit of God in you. It's not you anymore, it's Him. So you don't need a program. You don't need a banner. You don't need a logo and a t-shirt that you can wear. There they are. If you need that, something's missing. If you need that, it shows that people don't recognize you if you didn't have it. The true followers of Christ are recognizable. The Spirit of God shines through you. Living water flows through you. It refreshes others, it waters others, it builds up. You speak life, you speak truth. And you look very, very different than the world. And none of the world's rituals, none of the world's attempts comes close to the genuine article. So in the world, you've seen with many times with products, you have the original, and now the fake is made in Thailand, in China, in something like. You have the fake and you have the original. So if you are in Christ, you are the original article. You are a original Badu. If you're in Christ, you're the original. You're exactly what God made. So if you are the original, why are you going to take your instructions from a fake? Why are you going to listen to something that doesn't line up with truth? The instruction that Jesus gave, He said, leave them, they're blind guides. Didn't say, go try to convince them, go try to persuade them. He said, leave them, they're blind guides. Yes, And if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a ditch. So you go hard after the Spirit of Truth. You seek the truth with all of your heart. And when you do that, those that are on the path of the truth, they will end up walking side by side with you in this journey of life. And the love of God will flow through your heart, and you will be one in Christ, even as Jesus Christ prayed. So God has made it simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So love truth and respond out of a heart of compassion. And allow the Spirit of God to have His way in you. Time. So we'll stop there for today.